I was just saying.
I don't care about your opinion.
I'll tell you what I think.
What's that you say?
Would you just listen?
I don't think so.
Remember, ladies, one must not get one's knickers in a twist.
Please listen.
I'm trying to help you.
Listen.
I don't think so.
Excuse me.
I don't care.
Hey. Listen. Shut up and listen. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Shut Up and Listen with me, Heather Matarazzo. There's a certain sadness to my voice tonight because we're recording an hour after news broke about Manchester and the bombing. And, you know, I was considering canceling, you know, this upcoming conversation that I'm about to have. And then I decided, no, and maybe I'll actually drop this sooner than would normally be scheduled. But I just want to say to everyone, you know, it's a fucked up world that we get to live in. And, you know, there's as much terror and grief and sadness and rage and anger as there is joy and beauty and wonderment. And, we all do the best that we can with the tools that we have. And I want to give a special note of love to the families and friends and victims that were affected. you know, when something like this happens to children, it takes on a whole new meaning. And so, yeah, I don't know. There really aren't any words. and I guess the thing that I know how to do is just to use my voice and continue to have conversations with people that I love and admire and respect. And one of them is sitting here right now, Ira Madison III. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for having me.
Oh my God. Thanks for coming.
It's been a day.
It's been a fucking day. The day started with the Melania
swatting Trump's hand.
Hand swat. Heard around the world. The scene around the world.
It was such a beautiful start to the week. I was like, what did we do to deserve this? Because it's usually like hell every day. Last week, for instance, I don't know how you could. I got whiplash every night. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, like something new happens.
I know.
And then Monday starts and it's funny.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's been for fuck's sakes, it's 2017 has been a doozy, to say the least. You know, I just watched The Hours last night and I woke up this morning and I always think about things such as time, and does time really exist? And I really don't think it does personally. But just how the hours can bleed into each other. And I feel that way very much in regards to each new mass shooting, each new bombing, each new, you know, intelligence probe. It never ends. So
it feels like it's happening like all at once, all the time.
All at once, all the time. And it's, I just shut down. It's like, I've learned that I cannot save the fucking world and that my energy is a way too fucking precious to be screaming at the top of my lungs all day long.
Yeah. I mean, like, look at last year. We were like, this election's never going to fucking end. And then we were, you know, it was horrible. But then, like, I was at least grateful that it was over. But it's not over. So it's like, you know, I feel like we're still having the same conversations we were having leading up to the election. And we're having conversations now that we should have been having before it. So it's just like nothing really does end. Except Obama's gone.
Except that Obama's gone. But getting to see photos of him and Michelle, just like the case of the divine fuck it, celebrating their second honeymoon. Just like, what's up? What? We're just hanging out and chilling and having the best time.
Right. But like the thing too is like a lot of people, some people, people I dislike who are like, you know, where is Obama? Why isn't he like out saving the world? And it's like, I mean, he just gave us 8 years. Like give him 8 months, you know? Like there is literally nothing Obama could do right now.
And you know what?
Nothing.
It's so fucked up. It's so fucked up where it's, you know, the man couldn't catch a break for 8 fucking years. For 8 years. And now everybody is like, wait a second. Why aren't you help us? And it's the, I mean, I kind of wonder if white tears are actually just Botox. You know what I mean? That like it just, when are individuals going to recognize that they need to take fucking responsibility, you know, and that it's not always up to people of color. It's not always up to the gay and lesbian community. It's not always up to the Muslim community. You know, it's
right. Where were you for Obama when we needed to flip the House and the Senate? You know, then we wouldn't be in the current predicament that we're in right now.
I know. And it's at least it's the, you know, and I feel like I said this, maybe I said this on the podcast with our mutual friend, Amy Nicholson, where, or no, I just said it in an interview for a Bust magazine. Because the reporter had asked me something in regards to Trump or whatever the fuck, in regards to like shut up and listen. And I'd said, you know, she had said some fucking comment and I'd said like, dude, it's white people. It's fucking white people that like all of a sudden had to like wake up that fucking Tuesday morning where every other fucking like marginalized group, whether it be the LGBT community, LGBTQIA, I'm still getting fucking used to all the goddamn letters.
There's a lot of letters.
So many fucking letters. I'm gonna continue to fucking gripe about it. You know, and I'm not biphobic. I'm not fucking queer phobic. You know, I'm not any kind of fucking phobic. You know, not. Jess is like, Jesus Christ. It's just so many fucking letters. So many fucking letters. You know, but the liberal, you know, white feminists and everybody else, like the fucking Bernie bros.
Right. It's just, you know, they had to find out that, you know,
what everybody else knew.
Yeah.
And has been saying.
And so that's really just been like the conversation that we have all been having since the election, like continuing to tell these people like, yeah, no, we get it. Like things are horrible. And what's funny, too, is like about the Obama thing is like he's mostly focusing his efforts on Chicago. You know, he's you know, raising money and donating things and, you know, like to help people in the city of Chicago, which, you know, Trump was calling like a hellhole months ago.
Yeah.
We've already forgotten about that because it moved out of the news cycle.
Yeah.
But good for him for helping his community, you know, like.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to save the world. Like, he's like, let me focus on these people.
Yes. And that I feel like is, you know, his absolute fucking right. I, you know, it's the individuals that realize that their lives have been interrupted or threatened, you know, by the potential loss of liberty in whatever sense. And yet they still have such a sense of entitlement and privilege that they refuse to recognize where they themselves have fallen short, and either get really fucking defensive or invert it. But the result is still the same, which is, you do it. You do it. I am helpless and I don't, you do it. You do it. I don't know how. I don't know how to do it.
Right.
Help me.
Retweeting only gets you so far, you know? Like, donate some money. Go volunteer. I don't know. Like, I'm doing all that. I don't have time to tell you other people what to do.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the biggest thing where it's, don't ask me to explain to you X, Y, and Z.
Google exists.
Google exists. If you really desire to change, if you really desire to grow, if you really desire to expand your awareness about these issues that you say you care about, you will put in the time and the fucking effort. And it really just rubs me the wrong fucking way. That... Because individuals that are like, explain to me, help me to understand, ba 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 ba, all of a sudden, it's, A, where the fuck have you been?
Right. Because people don't really sort of realize that, like, on the surface, not a lot has changed domestically. Foreign, that's a whole nother level, and we're going to be dealing with those ramifications for years. But, you know, like domestically, a lot of the stuff that's going on is stuff that's been going on for years, you know? Like, sure, Jeff Sessions is trying to, like, ramp up, you know, penalties, you know, for, like, drug offenses and things. But, like, that stuff has been implemented for years, you know? Like, we should have been doing something about that before it got to this point. And ICE raids were happening under the Obama presidency. But now, you know, ICE officials are probably, you know, more brazen. You know, they're like taking a shot and like, let's go see. Let's go see which Mexican person we can send home.
Yeah.
Like, they're probably just like roaming the streets looking for people, you know, like
it is like Nazi Germany in the sense of it's the beginning of, you know, a totalitarian regime where if you have checkpoints and you're asking to see people's papers, you know, and people forget. Ooh. I think I might be PMSing. I actually don't need to quote unquote blame it on PMS. But I am cuntified tonight and just sipping fucking tea and calling out some shit. You know, the United States of America, Native American peoples, this is not our home. You know, like this country was built upon the genocide of an entire nations of people and the brutal enslavement of another, you know, and we have the fucking gall
right
to be like,
that's why I bought my Angela Rye shirt that says we built this joint for free.
Mm-hmm.
I love wearing it to brunch. I've yet to get a free meal out of it. I like to wear it as a reminder.
I need to get that shirt.
Yeah.
And wear it on some red carpets.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Fuck anymore. I don't give a fuck anymore about what people think. I don't. Okay, you're going to have to give me that information at the end of this because I'm going to order it. Like,
definitely.
ASAP. but I actually want to talk to you because you brought up Jeff Sessions. Mm-hmm. And I know that you got into a bit of a thorny situation back in January.
Did I?
Did you? What? I don't know what you're talking about. But that tweet that you had sent.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I would have changed about that tweet was Kids Are Us instead of Toys Are Us.
Right. You know, what's funny is the original iteration of that tweet was not the implication that he got the child from Toys R Us. Mm-hmm. It was that he had stolen a baby from a parent at Toys R Us to present. You know, Twitter has 140 characters.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Also, the joke was implying that Jeff Sessions is racist.
Yes.
It had nothing to do with the race of the child.
Yes,
could have been any race.
No.
If it had been a white baby there, I still would have been like, who did you kidnap this baby from?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing here to try and make yourself look good?
No, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, the backlash from it was wild, mostly because this Trump era has given rise to, and the Fox News era, you know, is given rise to people who are actually racist, to they love nothing more than telling other people that they're being racist. You know, they love nothing more than be able to say, well, actually, you're being racist, black person. You know, like, oh, actually, no, you liberals are the one who are the racist ones. Like, mm-hmm. they love doing that. And mean, like, you know, one of the main people was like Michelle Malkin. And it was like, bitch, like, you are pro Japanese internment camps. Like, what are we really talking about here? It was wild. What was nice was, you know, like, I was going on vacation right before it happened. So I spent a month in Europe luxuriating, sipping Prosecco, and just being like, you people are tweeting into a void. I'm not paying attention. you know, I still had my job because luckily I work for sane people.
Yes.
Every person I've run into has been like, the joke was funny.
Yeah.
And it's just really these crazy people love a different target every day because they have nothing else to do. Obama used to be their main target, and now he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So now they've flown out into the ether to attack everybody, you know?
Everybody.
It was like, oh, I was the new Justine Sacco. The funny thing about it, actually, is it got me so many Facebook friend requests from people I went to high school with. Because, like, they were like, is Ira an important person now? It was like, apparently it was just like a news crawl on, like, Fox News for several days. Because, you know, Fox doesn't report on Trump's antics, or this Russia probe or anything. Like, they want to report on Clinton or like liberals or like other things. Like, they need to change the narrative.
Yeah.
Like a friend of mine, I was just home for Mother's Day, back in my home state, Wisconsin, and a friend was like, he did like a double take because it was surreal to see like my name under the trending topics on Facebook. I was like, yeah. But as Beyonce said, you know, you're that bitch when you cause all this conversation,
mm-hmm.
I guess.
Yeah.
And then it went away.
Yeah.
Like, so
yeah,
nothing's happened. It was just an annoying like week.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it happens to, and what's great is like so many friends come to me now and they're like for advice because like anytime you tweet something like, you know, like politically charged now, like the trolls come after you and they text me now and they're like, what do you do when like these people are flooding my mentions? It's like, how do I, I'm
box
like,
block.
Right.
Box.
The blockchain.
Block, yeah.
Blockchain is beautiful. If you don't know what blockchain is, it's a thing that allows you to block the followers of certain accounts. And I have just gone through and like, boom, I don't even see these people anymore. Yeah. None of them, you know, like get rid of all those people who like follow the Blaze, who follow Glenn Beck, like get rid of those people. And it doesn't block people who you already follow. The weird thing is like sometimes it will block people like who you don't mean to block.
Yes.
But it's like, why is this report? It's like, oh, of course this reporter's following this like trash conservative
yes.
site. So I'm like, I will unblock them like when I realize, you know, but
yeah.
like, I don't know. I've been like on a block spree lately. You know, I've even blocked like these annoying like viral Twitter accounts. It's become, people don't even read articles anymore. Like, I feel like there's a handful of people on Twitter, and you've seen them, who it seems like they don't have any other job besides screenshotting articles, highlighting the important information, and embedding it into their own tweet so that
yeah.
their account is popular
yeah,
and people
sure.
follow them for news. So it was like, breaking this Trump thing. I'm like, well, actually, the Washington Post broke that. Not you. But I guess you have like 140,000 followers, so good for you, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. No, it's...
Everyone's tiring and everyone's self-promoting in this annoying Donald Trump way. And I just... I don't have the time, you know?
Yeah.
I just... Like I said, I want to sip my Prosecco.
Mm-hmm.
Scroll through Twitter.
Yeah.
Tell some jokes.
Yes.
And then move on.
Yeah.
I'm just here for the jokes.
Yeah. I hear you. And right now, we're not sipping Prosecco, but we're sipping sweet rosé.
Rosé is great, too.
Rosé is fabulous. And so is Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh, I love her.
She is fabulous. I want to... her like gay cruise years and years and years ago.
She had a cruise?
Yeah, the Rosie cruise.
She needs to bring that back.
Yeah, it was like with her ex Kelly.
I would love that because I feel like the Rosie cruise now would just be like shit talking Trump.
It was
because was that pre her feud with Trump?
I think so. And I just like I remember I thought like I'd gotten like invited to go by them. And I was like so excited because I thought it was going to be like down to Cancun, and then it ended up being to like Nova Scotia.
Oh, so it was cold.
I was like, it was like very, very strange. And that's not to say like I wasn't grateful for like the opportunity and like whatever else. And,
don't
like,
invite me on a fucking cruise unless it's going to be warm and tropical.
No.
That's wild.
Not like to fucking Nova Scotia with salmon. Like, for fuck's sakes. I can get that on 3rd Avenue and 47th Street. You know, with some capers and red onion. Though I hate red onion. I don't know why you said that. I don't even like fucking red onions.
I don't like onions, to be honest.
I don't like onions either. I don't like onions and I don't like fucking tomatoes.
Oh, I love tomatoes. I love a tomato. I hate onions, but like what's weirdly, like I still use them in recipes that call for onions because like it adds to the taste.
What recipes call for onions that you use?
Homemade tomato soup. Sorry, not tomato soup. Homemade tomato sauce.
Oh.
You use real onions. Yesterday I cooked some, I cooked like a pork shoulder with, some vegetable medley, and it called for onions in it. I've cooked with Blue Apron. Okay, so,
okay.
like, this is why
okay.
I'm, like, I'm
okay.
cooking a pork shoulder. It was sent to, it was sent to my house. Okay. I didn't like stroll through the market like Belle.
But that would be amazing. I would love to be able to cook more. Mm-hmm. The only cookbooks that I have are the Maya Angelou cookbook, the Patti LaBelle cookbook, and the Black Heritage cookbook.
Listen, Patti LaBelle throws down. I have her cookbook, and I have Chrissy Teigen's and like a Martha Stewart one. But I need, I live in a studio right now in Silver Lake, and I'm moving at the end of the year.
Congrats.
I don't know where yet, too.
But congrats anyway.
Thank you. I've been subletting from a friend who, I used to live in West Hollywood, and he is an animator, and his job moved up to Portland, and it was only supposed to be for a year, but it ended up being extended for another year, so I've been in Silver Lake for 2 years. It was like the perfect way for me to try it out. But I'm going to get a one bedroom because I want a bigger place. I want a bigger kitchen. You know, like the kitchen is actually big that I have now, but the counter space isn't huge. You know, so like I need bigger counter space so I can cook because I fucking love cooking. Then you want to have a bigger place, then like I'll throw down. I'll have dinner parties. You can come over.
Oh my God. I would love that. No, it's just so because of like where I live right now, which is like downtown, I'm not going to the fucking market.
No.
I'm not going to fucking Trader Joe's. And I have no desire to do fucking Blue Apron. Mm-hmm. Unless Blue
You're the only podcaster who doesn't have a desire to do Blue Apron.
Well, well, Blue Apron, listen, if you want to get advertising and give me some free stuff, I will happily try Blue Apron.
Come through Blue Apron.
Come through Blue Apron. No, because, I mean, I'll tell you what.
No, I get it. When you don't live right by the fucking store, you don't cook.
And on top of that, the things that I desire to cook are not things that one would eat every day. You know, so like lasagna,
same,
big ziti, fried chicken, okra, biscuits.
See, that's the shit that I like too. And like that used to be like the only stuff I knew how to cook because my family's originally from Tennessee.
Yeah.
It was like, I can do this cooking. Probably not healthy for me. So I like having like this food delivered to me because it makes me cook something nice for myself. Because otherwise, if I'm cooking, I'm like, I just want to make some pasta.
Yes. Like,
let me make some mac and cheese.
Oh my. See, and here's the deal with the mac and cheese. It's so funny because I literally was at, can't even call it a bodega. Like,
yeah, we don't have bodegas here.
The convenience store. The convenience store. I miss a fucking bodega. But I just saw like the Kraft mac and cheese and I was like, man. I miss me some Kraft mac and cheese.
Listen, I miss the bodega the most when I'm in New York for work and stuff. I was in New York for a bachelor party like 3 weeks ago, and I Airbnb'd in Brooklyn, in Crown Heights, and the fact that there's just like the bodega on the corner, like it was beautiful,
yeah.
You know? Because, like, right next to me, I have a fucking 7-Eleven.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Which never has what you really want.
No, it doesn't. Unless you want a 40 or a gummy candies or a pound and a quarter hot dog.
You can go to a fucking bodega in New York and get, like, a bomb sandwich. You know? Like, when you're hungry, like, the bodega will save your life.
No. Well, not only can you get, like, a bomb sandwich, you can find Crisco. And like I mentioned this because my sweet love, made us cookies, which you're more than welcome to have.
Can't wait.
They're really fucking good too. Like Jesus fucking Christ. She's just magic. They're like vegan and they're fucking amazing.
Okay.
And I like poo poo anything
trust
that's
you.
Vegan.
Listen, I have a coworker. loves a vegan cookie. And I feel like one out of every 10 batches is good.
I'll tell you what. I'm like, I hate vegan things.
I just don't get it.
I'm allergic. Like,
I'll have some vegetables.
I'm allergic to vegetables.
But I don't need
to
be... Okay.
I'm allergic unless it's like fucking fried okra or collard greens or peas or like some carrots, mm-hmm. like red carrots and blue carrots I'm a fan of.
I love and yellow vegetables. Carrots. I wish I were actually... What I really want is like a salad cookbook. Because I feel like I love a good salad, but I feel like the best salads you always get are the kind like we go, because especially we live in LA, you mm-hmm. know, like you have to pay like $13 for a good salad, but like they taste good. But I'm like, I need that cookbook so like I can make some of these things at home.
I'm sure that they're, oh, do you know what? I think that there's this like really beautiful seasonal cookbook that has like a lot of vegetable recipes and a lot of like salad recipes for like the spring
okay.
and the summer. I'll always get behind a good Greek salad minus yeah. the onion.
Yeah. Love a Greek salad. Love a Cobb salad.
Fuck no. Mm-mm.
The bacon, the blue cheese.
I'll tell you what. I don't know when it happened, but anytime I get even the faintest smell of a hard-boiled egg,
oh, I you're start anti-hard-boiled to gag. Egg. I love it.
I just even now.
The one thing MTV had going for it is the fact that our office on the a kitchen on the third floor has like hard-boiled eggs in it. Like, someone makes them all day.
This is, like, another reason that I loathe MTV. Beside the fact that, you know, they canceled Sweet Vicious.
Sweet Vicious was such an intriguing premise. I never watched the show, and I feel bad because I have a friend, Jared, who wrote on it, and I support him. In theory, but I never got around to watching it because MTV's streaming player is horrible. I can say that now because I work at the Daily Beast.
You do work at the Daily Beast. No, it's interesting. I really run out of fucks to give in terms of being quote unquote politically correct.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and oh no, like what happens if blah, 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 blah.
Right.
You know, but if the head of MTV is going to cancel a show and the new head of MTV, like by the time this podcast airs, let's even see if he's still there since they have a changing of the guard, it seems, every few months. But if...
Throw that tea.
I'm going to listen, sipping tea, sipping rosé.
I caught it. No, I get it. You know, because that show actually, it's a really fucking important show, just premise-wise to have. And I'm actually going to go back and watch it. But, like, I love the concept of a show, you know, about combating rape culture, and actual rape, you know, like on college campuses. And it was such a smart move for MTV to make. And I saw so many people having conversations about it. But it's gone. And it probably would have done well, you know, if it had been on like the CW.
And you know what? I'm going to say this. Cheers in its first season was the lowest rated show.
Right.
And then they gave it a second season, and it ended up going for 11 seasons, being like one of the most beloved programs.
What's crazy is how many TV shows have that origin story. Like, nobody was really checking for Dynasty in its first season.
Oh, my God.
And then they added Joan Collins, and it was, like, in the top, like, five of TV shows for, like, 5 years. Melrose Place added Amanda Woodward, added Heather Locklear. Mm-hmm. Like, then that show jumped up. Seinfeld had low ratings in its first season.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't get it.
I do. Of course, here's the deal. I very much get it. Because here's something where, you know, a show is actually getting to create change, you know, as I feel all good storytelling, you know, the result is getting to challenge the viewer, is getting to inspire the viewer, is getting to connect the viewer, with themselves through the narrative that they're watching, through the characters that they're identifying with or disliking and not identifying with, and getting mm-hmm. to look within and being like, why do I have such a profound dislike for this individual? Like, storytelling is fucking powerful. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, you know, MTV wants to go back to the culture of trash, like fucking Teen Mom, you know, and like 16 and pregnant, like whatevs. So like any programming that is going to be inspiring, any programming, especially that gives a leg up to women and makes them feel empowered. It makes them believe that, oh, not only am I not alone, but connects, it allows them to connect with their own inner wild woman, you know, and like.
That's why I love Scandal this season. Scandal was fucking great this season. I thought it was, I really loved how it ended with, you know, Olivia Pope, a black woman, the most powerful woman in America. Like, I thought it was great. And, you know, I like that Shauna's been telling interesting stories for women for years.
Yes.
And she's the one woman who's, like, running and juggling all these shows and giving other work to women, too.
And I would say a close second is Ava.
Yes, Ava as well. You know, like, giving so many women directors the chance to work on Queen Sugar. And it's, I love that, you know. It was like, oh, what I just saw. There was this interview with Woody Allen at Cannes. Just talking about the fact that, like, he's gotten to the point where he can, like, make 4 movies in a row that are bombs and still be able to make that 5th one. And then, oh, that's good. You know?
Well, maybe I should start molesting some children and see how my career turns around.
I feel like that is the secret recipe. I mean, yes. Roman Polanski makes so many movies, too. So, it's hip.
Yes. Molesting children is in this season.
And just trash men. What else today? There was it was a Johnny Depp thing the villain in Pirates 5 was originally supposed to be a woman until he made them change it. And he is just like morphed into like this boozed up.
Wait,
like,
is that accurate?
Yeah.
Oh, Christ.
He's morphed into like this boozed up, like, walking scarf. Like, he looks like an anthropology when you see him these days. And I'm just like, I don't get it, you know? And like, they're building that movie franchise around him, too. The Universal movies, which is just like 5 like white guys, like him and Tom Cruise and starring in The Mummy. I mean, I low-key want to see The Mummy because I like Tom Cruise and all of his crazy Scientology-ness, but he's the only one.
I don't it's so funny because I had said something recently on Twitter about Tom Cruise because of Mission Impossible 6. And I said,
Angela Bassett's in
exactly.
It.
And I was like, that's the only reason I'm going to go see that movie is fucking Queen fucking Bassett.
I love her so much, but I've also on the record, loved every Mission Impossible movie. Except for three. I think three was the one J.J. Abrams did. But I just really enjoy it. I really like Tom Cruise. I like Vanilla Sky.
I don't, you know what?
I have this weird fascination with him. And I don't know what it is. I mean, I think he, you know, he exudes movie star still to me.
Yeah, I get that. I understand that to a certain degree. I guess with that too, and did I talk about this like on the Amy episode? Maybe I did, and I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself, but I'm consistent with my opinions and feelings. You know, that the scene of Tom Cruise in Magnolia,
uh-huh.
right, where he goes to the hospital bed and he's like, you prick. And he has that like big emotional moment. And I look at that performance and I'm like, not only do I not connect with it, I find it laughable. Because I could imagine the AD being like, all right, everybody, quiet on the set. He said, quiet. We have an actress getting ready. Quiet. And like Tom Cruise is in the corner just like saying whatever fucking incantation he's saying. You know, just like whatever the fuck to get him ready. And it's all about him in that moment. And I can see his fucking ego and his performance versus, you know, the moment in the hours with Ed Harris and Meryl Streep, where they cut back to Ed Harris, who's sitting alone in that chair, and a single tear escapes from his eye. And Clarissa comes through the door, and he's trying to get in the light, and it's so authentic and it's so honest because neither one of those actors were thinking about an Oscar. Neither one of those actors were making it about them, because to me, they're the two actors, the ones that know that they're just a vessel for the characters to come through. There's nothing else. They don't take any fucking credit, you know?
Okay, yes. Tom Cruise, he definitely had that movie as like an Oscar grab. Just like Leonardo DiCaprio with The Revenant.
I didn't see it.
It's messy.
Keep it.
Yes, keep it. But yeah, I feel like, I don't know, like he's had some Oscar moments to me that felt earned.
Oprah on the couch?
Tom Cruise. He should have gotten an Oscar for being on the couch with Oprah. I actually feel like, wasn't Magnolia like around that time? Like when he was just going crazy? And I feel like he settled down.
I don't know. Now I'm just getting images.
I feel like Tom Cruise's early career was great. And later Tom Cruise's career is fun because now he's just an action star. And he stopped, you know, doing like the Magnolias, although I still think he was great in Jerry Maguire.
Underrated
movie that I forget which comedian said this. I think it was it might have been Dave Chappelle, but it was like, who pointed out that like black people love Jerry Maguire. Like we love it. I love that movie. It's a really good movie. I think he was great in that movie. And I like early Tom Cruise, like Born on the 4th of July.
Yes. Yes.
Top Gun's trash. But, you know, Cocktail is great.
Days of Thunder.
Yeah.
I would even say Far and Away, but that also Nicole Kidman. And I've always been an Irish. I've always been a sucker for an Irish film.
Nicole Kidman is my life. I love her. I think she's a great actress. And it's crazy that, like, women actresses always go through, like, this period where, like, people, like, quote-unquote discover that they can act. They're like, oh, my God, Nicole Kidman's so great in Big Little Lies. I'm like, but she was great in Invasion, like a schlocky alien movie that she starred in with Daniel Craig. Like, she's great. She's great in the paparazzi photos when she's leaving. Have you seen that photo? She's leaving the office after she finished her divorce settlement with Tom Cruise. It's amazing. She's wearing like this blouse and these like green capri pants, and it's ridiculous. But she's reading everything, you know? And so I'm just like, it annoys me when people don't give Nicole Kidman her due.
Well,
I want her and Tom to make another movie again. I know they hate each other. I know he probably tried to kill her. And he won't let her see her children. But
you know, but with that too, like Nicole Kidman, I'd seen something that I've just gotten really fucking prickly in the sense of, I saw Nicole Kidman say something about like people need to support Trump or something to that effect. And I was like, bitch, uh-uh.
Oh, she's just a dumb Australian. I don't know.
See, and here's the deal.
They're all racist. They're pretty, but they're all racist.
I can't do it. I cannot do it. I no longer can separate between a person's politics and their performance.
I thought I couldn't. But Susan Sarandon was really fucking good in Feud.
That's another thing I haven't seen.
But she was really good in Feud. She was so fucking good. If I see her on the street, I want to throw my latte at her.
Why do you hate her?
Because she's like, she's a Bernie bro.
Yeah.
She's a Bernie broette.
Yeah.
She's the Bernie bro. She's like the ultimate. She's like the final boss in a video game when you fight all the other Bernie bros. She's the one that you get to.
Oh, that's funny. Because
also, Dead Man Walking is awful. Sorry. Her and Tim Robbins. And I had to do the play in college. So it's trash. So whatever. Bye. I don't like either of them.
I'm like, why have we never met before and hung out in person? Because there are a few things that I'm still like, okay, for a second, we also need to talk about Dynasty. Yeah. Alexis Carrington, Colby Dexter.
Have you seen the trailer for the new CW version?
Keep it.
Definitely keep it. I was like, what is this? I don't know. It just looked like... It looked like a 90210, which I watched every episode of, so I'll probably watch every episode of this Dynasty. But, you know, it's like it's not the glamour.
Yeah, it's not the Dynasty. Shoulder pads. It's not the, like, fucking Liza Minnelli sequin gowns.
You know what was Dynasty? Big Little Lies. Big Little Lies was Dynasty. I mean, it was basically Knots Landing, but it was like it was rich people with problems, lush, beautiful cinematography, rich white women swilling wine but having problems. Like, that was like a primetime soap event.
I feel like
people don't take them seriously. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Dynasty, they took seriously when they wrote it. Like, yes. They didn't know it was going to be this camp classic. And I feel like this new Dynasty, they're trying to make it campy and fun and wacky. Whereas, like, Big Little Lies, it took itself seriously. But then you watch it and you're like, this is also really funny. It's campy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know. It's that is the irony. And that goes back to if you are creating a story, with a particular result in mind, you know, like, oh my God, like, blah, 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 like, this will be, blah, 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 as opposed to just, like, honestly just getting to write and listening to the characters, you know, as opposed to trying to be manipulative, you know, and just have cheap plot points that are trash. I just, like, for fuck's sakes, like, I don't fucking know if I've just been, like, doing this for too long. I don't know if I am just really fucking sick of bullshit, overplayed narratives that I have no interest in viewing because I, A, don't identify, and B, I have no connection with, You know, for me, I feel like I'm more interested in hearing authentic fucking stories, like fucking like Rebecca Theodore is like just stepping into directing now, like Lauren Warren.
I love them. They're beautiful.
I know. Lauren Warren and fucking Rebecca Theodore, like, and a few others, like, those are the women that I desire to work with. Like, mm-hmm. I desire to work with those individuals that are talented as fuck, have a very clear fucking vision, mm-hmm. and have lived some fucking life.
Exactly. No, I get it, you know? And, like, I love Dynasty. I've loved soap operas.
Yeah.
I've grown up, and I think that they were great. They gave me a great way to tell, like, interesting social stories.
Yes.
And also entertain people.
Yes.
So I'm actually in the middle of writing a book, which is fun, that I'm actually going to release online chapter by chapter each week. So it's like sort of my own Dynasty. But so that'll be coming out soon.
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh my God.
But it was just like looking at, like, you know, the upcoming trailer and stuff and rewatching the original Dynasty on Amazon Prime. I was just like, this is like, I was like, I got to do this myself.
Wait, you're about to change my life. Wait, the original Dynasty is on Amazon Prime?
Yes.
You don't, like, here.
Every season.
Okay. You don't. Here's something that you need to understand about me. A, I hardly ever watch anything anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because I literally am just working until 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to bed. I hardly ever watch anything anymore. Because Bits got to make some money.
Of course, make those coins.
Yeah, I've got to make those Bitcoins. That, like, if you had like $100 in Bitcoin 7 years ago, you now have $75 million. Fuck you very much.
If only. I should have been like, what are these white people talking about online? I was like, that's what I was like. I was like, what the fuck are these white people talking about? Like, a bit enough.
All it makes me think
I should have gotten like 100 of them and just like kept that shit.
I see, like, shoulda, woulda, fucking coulda.
But wasn't it like illegal?
I don't know.
I'm trying to go to prison.
Listen, I like, I don't.
They'd arrest black people for having bitcoins.
Where'd like, you get these bitcoins?
How'd you get that?
How'd you get that?
You what'd hacking? You been hacking?
Oh my fucking God! Oh, I can't even like. Oh my God! I like because now that's just making me think of like. I'm like, do I want to go there? I'm like, I'm loving this conversation so much. And I'm like, I don't want it to take a quote unquote downturn.
What turn? We can
what
do
turn?
It.
What turn? Can we? Can we do it?
Of course. I love a turn.
Well, no, it like.
Let's get real.
Let's get real.
In the spirit of MTV. Let's stop acting polite.
Yes. Let's stop acting polite and stop and start acting real. Well, I'm trying to think of like the actual correct term. The slave patrol, also known as police.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's how they started.
I mean, and that's how they continue.
Yeah.
Not all.
Hashtag not all police.
Hashtag not all police.
I argued with a friend about this week about police unions. We were going back and forth.
What was your argument?
I was just like, they're wicked. And I'm like, it's like, hard. It's, you know, they're just rampant with so many abuses. And there really needs to be like some sort of reform. Because we've gotten to the point where like they can sort of just act unchecked. You
well,
know?
Yeah.
You know, when we get to the point where, like, police are, like, you know, boycotting things or being, like, you know, we're, like, striking, you know, because they, like, don't like a social justice thing. It's, like, it's out of control. Like, you're here to protect people.
No, they're here to protect their own.
Right. They should, in theory, be here to protect people. So, it's just, it's wild. You know, and I'm, like...
What has your experience been with the police?
Well, I wrote this essay for BuzzFeed years ago. My mom was actually a sheriff, and my sister also worked in law enforcement. And I grew up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
That's home a very of, liberal home, place,
home,
right?
home of Sheriff Clark.
Fuck my life.
He is a monster. but yeah, it's just been, it's weird, you know, to hear different sides of it, you know. And obviously there is crime in communities that needs to be combated, but you know, I just, honestly, a lot of my interactions aside from my family members' interactions with police are purely like theoretical or like from the news and things, you know. I am thankful to have personally never had a run-in with the police in my life, you know, which I know is not true for many Black people in America. Who knows? It could happen still. It could happen any day. you know, but I currently have not had any awful interactions, yeah. But obviously, you know, like, I empathize with every interaction that's ever been in the news, you know? It's like, you don't have to be Black to empathize with those. I empathize more, obviously, being a Black person and knowing it can happen. But, you know, it's difficult. It's not that tough, though.
Yeah, but you know, it's, I can't say that, like, I have the same reason to be fearful. Obviously, because I'm not Black, in case you didn't know.
You know what? You were doing a good job of dolezaling.
Oh my God, where is this
sister from?
Oh my God, thank you so much. Do you love my artwork? Love my artwork.
I'll let you do my cornrows later.
I'm so misunderstood. Yeah, me and Tommy Lee Hain are going to get together later and discuss our plights. I'm such a cunt. I don't care.
Wait, did you mean Tommy Lahren?
Yeah, I could give such a fuck that I didn't even get her name right.
I was like, who is Tommy Lahren? Toby Lahren. Tamai Lahr. Toby Lahren. Whatever.
I don't know her.
She is the most loud, unemployed person in the world right now. It's like, you don't have a job, sis, and you are still yapping. It's like, go find a Blockbuster video. I don't know. I'm sure there's three in the country somewhere.
We're like a
find box. A job.
Yeah. Well, what's her deal?
I don't know. She's blonde and pretty, so she'll get something.
Not all blonde people.
Okay.
Not all blonde people.
Don't trust them. People are always like, I don't trust gingers. They're shifty. I'm like, you know who pushed that narrative? Blonde people. Look at the real people you shouldn't trust.
Yeah, because they're blonde hair, blue eyed devils.
Right. Tried to make gingers the devil. We get it.
Well, I have blue eyes, so does that make me, am I like?
But I mean like the Nazi party blondes.
Yeah, I know.
The Ken dolls, the Barbies.
I know. I will never get confused with a Barbie. That's for goddamn sure.
No, maybe one of those American girls. They have a lot of different cultural ones now.
Yeah, that's true. They have those American girls that are interesting looking. they have character.
I got my niece an American Girl doll recently, actually.
And?
She loves it. Yeah. It was Melody, like the 1960s Jim Crow American Girl doll. I don't think it's Jim Crow. It's like in 60s Detroit. Like she's wearing like 60s gear. Like she comes with like a record player. I don't know.
Does but she
like,
also come with a fucking protest sign?
I mean, like she was during the protests.
Okay.
So I don't know. I don't think it came with a protest sign, but the protesting is implied.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
but I have gotten confused. It's so... like this conversation just made me think I used to live in New York right next to a Kabbalah preschool.
Oh, so you'd see Madonna every day?
No, I wouldn't. I would not see Madge. I would not see Madonna. But I remember getting asked on like several different occasions by rabbis that were outside. Are you Jewish?
Mm.
Are you Jewish? And I think like 90% of the characters that I've played have been Jewish.
They have been.
They have been.
Yeah.
And Eli Roth.
People think you are.
Most people do. I remember Eli Roth was like, there's something incredibly Jewy about you. And I was like, is it because I have brown hair and I'm from New York? Is it the fact that I don't have like a button nose? Like, what is it? And he was like, no, it's the lips. You have Jewy lips.
Okay, and Eli.
And Eli Roth, for those of you that don't know, is Jewish. So I'm not being anti-Semitic, to be clear.
Well, you're just repeating what he said, too.
I know, but still, for fuck's sakes.
I get it, you know.
I know. I just, Jesus fucking Christ.
I have a friend with dark hair and, like, glasses, sort of nerdy, but it's like, people think he's Jewish all the time, which is random.
Mm.
People just think I'm Jewish when they see my name because of Ira.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it
doesn't happen when they meet me, though.
Well, I mean, you could be Jewish.
It's like, but not like it's from a line of a person who was Jewish that's removed by several men, so only by blood. Which doesn't count.
What?
No, it's like it counts like through your
mother.
Through your mother.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, because there are people of color who are Jewish.
Oh, of course.
That have been born Jewish. I mean,
yeah, like Ethiopian Jews, etc. Those are the only black people who are Jews that I can think of. Drake, for instance, is
Drake
Jewish.
Is Jewish.
Yeah.
Okay. I know that I'm not old. However, I feel so fucking old because I'm like, Drake, I know he did that like video in like the Cube and everybody made fun of him. And
Hotline
I know that
Bling.
Like Hotline Bling.
Yes.
Yeah. And all that made me think of was like bedazzled like cell phones.
I love a bedazzled cell phone. I wish I had one.
I never had a bedazzled cell phone.
I never did either. I never had the kind that was bedazzled. What was it? It was like the Nokia or whatever.
I don't fucking know.
I had like the Razor flip phone. So.
Oh my!
I don't think you could bedazzle those.
God.
Or maybe you could. I don't know.
I think you can really.
Paris Hilton found a way. Probably.
What happened to her?
She was just in W Magazine.
For what?
For nothing. Actually, it was just a spread about like what she thinks about things in 2017.
Who cares?
And I was like, I don't care. Just give me another Stars Are Blind because that was a banger.
What Stars Are Blind?
Her single.
What?
When she made music.
Do you see how when
this is over, you need to listen to Stars Are Blind because it's a perfect pop song.
I would rather not. I would rather not. I respectfully decline to set that boundary. The stars will never align for me to listen to that song by Paris Hilton.
I don't know.
Listen, I'm...
Could happen at some place in the future. They probably played it at the Princess Diaries rap party.
I don't know that there was a Princess Diaries rap party.
Actually, that was probably also like 9 years before Stars Are Blind. I don't really remember when Paris had her career. I just know it blessed me in the 2000s at some point.
Well, you know, the universe gives to us unexpected gifts sometimes.
It does.
The only time I've ever even wasted my breath on Paris Hilton besides this moment was when I think I was doing an interview for Entertainment Weekly during press for Saved at Sundance.
Mm.
And I had said something about how like Sundance has gone downhill because they're letting like trash like Paris Hilton in or something to that effect.
Too bad that was pre-Twitter era. You would have been trending all day.
Well, yeah, I mean, Jesus fucking Christ. If Twitter had been around like when I was in my very late teens, very early 20s, holy fuck.
I'm like, would any of us have jobs? I certainly wouldn't. The things I'd say on Twitter as like 19, I'm like, thank God no one let me have that.
Oh my God. I God only knows, like God only knows the like shit I was able to get away with. like, not that I really like regret anything, you know, because I know that we each have our own role to fill and play and whatnot in this thing called life. And we all have our purpose, you know, as like Matthew A. Cherry pointed out to me when he was discussing, how Netflix wasn't going to, how the French cinema wasn't going to, how Netflix wasn't going to put their film into local French cinema, you know, and then like Cannes just erupted with like boos for like the film that they were premiering. And Matthew A. Cherry had said something to the effect of Netflix has done so much for independent filmmakers. Which I agree with, but I'd made the point that, you know, there's so much trash in independent cinema that those independent films that are actually brilliant and incredible and should be seen are getting lost in the proverbial shuffle.
I just said this on a film podcast recently. I was talking with April Wolf about the fact that, like, so many of these independent films, they, which is great for the filmmaker because they get a nice payday.
Yeah.
But it's like, then you, I have no idea they're on Netflix, though. So I never see them, you know? Like, they don't get promoted. The way that Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt gets promoted.
Yes.
You know? Like, I don't know that movie's there.
Yes.
And, like, how does that help? And then also Netflix doesn't release their data. So, it, like, how does that help a second filmmaker getting, like, a next deal, you know? Because, like, you don't have that raw data of, like, this is how many people looked at this. Like, I was the top movie this weekend. You know? Like people don't know.
Yeah.
So, I, you know, they're great for getting independent filmmakers a check, but I don't know if they're really, like, highlighting independent filmmakers.
Yeah.
You know, they're the only films that really get highlighted from Netflix are the ones done by, like, high-profile people. Like, I assume this Okja, the Wes Anderson one, is going to be Netflix.
Yeah.
Or, like, an Adam Sandler movie, you know? Yeah, like, it's which only is the high-profile ones. Yeah. So
see, I just like, see, this is how much I do not give a fuck. Like,
it's safe to say Adam Sandler movies are trash, though. 4 out of 5 dentists agree.
yeah, it's just, it just, I don't know what has caused him to be so angry. And I don't know. Yeah.
Is he angry?
He just, like, that Sammy, whatever the fuck film that, like, is on Netflix now.
Oh, Wexler or whatever.
Yeah. where it's, I'm just sick of, do you know what I'm sick of? I'm sick of, I'm like, I see you yawning. Are you going to eat that mic or am I boring you? No, I'm just really sick of the fucking narrative about the
misunderstood, slightly nerdy, straight white man. I'm so
right, because most of those men turn out to be Dexter.
Yeah.
Serial killers.
Or Donald Trump.
Yeah. So, you know, like enough of those men.
Yeah. Or who else? I'm sure that there's a huge long list.
Yeah. But I get it. You know, these Sheldon Coopers out there. It's a Big Bang Theory reference for the audience. I watched the Big Bang Theory.
Do you like it?
I do. We don't have to talk about it. moving on.
How do you feel about the spinoff show?
Oh, the pilot's cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Okay.
I will watch it.
Okay. Okay.
No one dragged me on Twitter about this.
Yeah. We all have faults. You know, it's okay.
I'll admit it tonight online. I'm a Big Bang Theory fan.
Yeah, I don't even have cable.
I don't either.
You don't?
No, I watch it on like CBS on my Roku.
I don't have Roku.
Okay, well.
I don't have anything. That's not true. You know what I have? I have Passion.
Have what?
I have Passion.
Okay, you got Moxie.
I got Moxie. I got Chutzpah.
Dewy Lips.
Dewy Lips.
According to Eli Roth, of
course.
According
to Eli Roth, which means that they're big and pouty and beautiful. yeah, I just...
you should have been like, well, do you have a part for these Jew lips?
Yeah, well, I was already working with him.
What were you in with him?
Hostel 2.
Are you in Hostel 2?
Yeah.
I have not seen Hostel 2.
Well, then of course you wouldn't know.
Okay. Well, I actually don't think I've seen Hostel.
Yeah, I was in the second Hostel.
I did see Hostel. I saw the first Hostel.
Yeah. There is a second one with myself, Bijou Phillips, Lauren German, Roger Bart, and my death scene was so controversial that it was banned in 3 different countries.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
How's that just, like, not your Twitter bio? Heather Bonarosa banned in 3 different countries.
Yeah. Because you know what? Like, I mean, that would be an interesting note.
That would be the name of your comedy special. Yeah. Banned in 3 different countries.
Yeah, soon to be 5 after it's over. Maybe 7. Who knows?
We're probably gearing up for a Hostel reboot, aren't we? Like, that's what everybody does now, isn't it?
I keep it. Like, keep the fucking reboots. I mean,
James Wan is doing the Resident Evil reboot. They're rebooting it for 6 movies. I'm like, what is happening? Someone online, I think Richard Lawler, said to me, like, this has to be, like, a drug front or something. Like, I think these Resident Evil movies, like, have somebody sitting in the Caymans. Because there have been so many of them.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen them. I'm like, who's seeing all these movies? Where's this money coming from?
You know what? That's what I would like to know. I mean, really? That's what I would like to know. And that goes back to the fucking point when I was, like, fucking talking with Matthew. You know? And I was like... There are some movies that shouldn't get made, that like really should not be made. And he was like, well, who's to say like what should and shouldn't be made? Because even if it's shitty, it finds an audience. And I was like, yeah, but like several of those movies I've been in where I'm like, this should not have been made. There should be no money given to this.
You know, Matthew's also a nice upcoming filmmaker who doesn't want to rock the boat.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of movies are bad. A lot of TV shows are bad. They shouldn't be made either, you know?
But they canceled the ones that are fucking incredible. Like right. Fucking American Crime. I almost American pulled Crime a Barbara
was,
Wawa's.
American Crime American was great. American Crime. I did not watch this season, but I'll get around to it. Last season was great. The one with the like the rape story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked American Crime.
Fucking Felicity Huffman?
Oh, she's great.
Jesus.
An icon forever.
She's incredible. She's so fucking good. Like, The Leftovers, I think, is, like, so fucking brilliant.
Little do people know, Felicity Huffman's best work is in Desperate Housewives. Don't at me.
You really think so?
Listen, she did a lot of really great fucking work in Desperate Housewives. She had cancer on that show. She had a painkiller addiction on that show.
Philandering, like, husband.
Right. So she did, like... She did some really good stuff on that show, which was on for 8 years. I love Desperate Housewives. I've seen every episode.
It's interesting. I feel like that you and I get to have a crossover of things that we get to bond over in terms of, oh my God, I love Dynasty. Like, I love camp. I love camp. And I guess I...
The genre, yes.
Yes.
Because ironically, I love camp, but I do not like the movie Camp.
I didn't see it.
This wasn't for me. The theater kids around me liked it, and I was technically a theater kid, but I was like, I'm not a performer, though, so this isn't really resonating with me. I'm just going to take a back seat here.
Are you a fan of musicals?
I love musicals, though. I love a musicale.
Favorite musicale?
I think it's probably Into the Woods, which I saw the production here in L.A. at the Amundsen, and it was beautiful.
Yeah, I heard that. It was, like, brand new, like...
It did it like that stripped down actors playing the instruments thing, which they did in the production of Company that I saw on Broadway with Raul Esparza.
Mm.
It was beautiful. I was in the first row with my Rush tickets, and his spit hit me during Being Alive.
Oh my God.
Greatest moment of my life. But I love a musical. I'm always listening to musicals, like, usually at home. Like,
same.
Jesus Christ Superstar soundtrack gets worn out. I love it.
Really?
Yeah. I can't wait for the live version that they're doing next year.
Interesting. Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah.
Huh. Favorite song, Into the Woods?
You know what? It used to be Moment in the Woods.
Mm.
But I think it's maybe they're Magic.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah. But also, I never really used to like Agony until the movie.
Yes.
Because Chris Pine is just wonderful.
Chris Pine did an incredible job in that film.
And then they did wonderfully on the stage version, too. And now I like really love Agony.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, Maybe Their Magic is a really beautiful song.
Hmm. Okay. I need to re-listen to that now.
Yeah.
I need to re-listen to it. It's always been for me... The prologue?
It's a great prologue.
It's so good. And also, children will listen.
Yeah.
Like, careful the things you say, children will listen.
Yeah.
Listening
to it before I'd ever seen the musical before in my life, I really had no idea that the witch, like, kills herself at the end.
Mm.
It's hard to tell that listening to the soundtrack.
Yeah.
The cast recording. Yeah.
Life, death, life.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, I fucking, and I love Sondheim because he's so, I think that he probably is one of, if not the greatest lyricist of all time.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Like, he's.
Those lyrics are a mouthful though, but I love them.
Yes, they're a mouthful, but every single word has a meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Every single sentence is so impactful. It's poetry.
Yes. Would that we could all just strip it down to the, you know, the bare necessities, as it were.
Now I'm going to have that song stuck in my head. It's just the bare necessities. I don't even know the rest, but it just, it has me grooving right now on the couch. Oh my God. Well, what I'm thinking is that one day you need to come over for a Sunday brunch.
Love it.
And have it be like a musical fucking Sunday.
Yeah, let's.
Because I am obsessed with musicals. Obsessed. And that's why I feel like I really suck at modern pop culture.
Mm-hmm. Not enough musicals?
No, because I'm like hanging out with fucking like Judy Garland, Liza Minnelli, and fucking Nina Simone, and Ella Fitzgerald, and Billie Holiday, and don't give a fuck about...
There's a new show coming up, which I hear is good. I think it's Jason Kadams.
Mm-hmm.
Friday Night Lights, Jason Kadams.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Rise. It's going to be on NBC. It's about like a musical school.
Interesting.
Like the LaGuardia one in like New York.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of like a Fame.
Yeah.
Supposed to be like Glee meets Friday Night Lights, some more realistic.
Hmm.
But we'll see. I've not seen it yet, but a friend at NBC wants me to come over to his apartment and watch it. And he said that he's pretty sure I will love it. It's up my alley.
My God. Well, I love Friday Night Lights.
Right. So,
even though Peter Berg just makes me shake my head sometimes with some of the things that he said.
I mean, his trash Mark Wahlberg movie.
Which one?
Wasn't that him? The recent one, The Patriot, the one about the Boston bombings. Was that Peter Berg?
I didn't see it.
If it's not Peter Berg, I'm sorry for tarnishing Peter Berg's name. I actually enjoyed the movie, even though it was far too jingoistic for my tastes.
I feel like I should not even maybe be an actor anymore, considering that I don't watch anything. And that is part of my job. Or is it? It's not.
I don't know.
No,
writers are supposed to write.
I know, and that's what I do.
But
I fucking...
But I don't know if our actors are supposed to watch.
No, I mean, and the truth is that like I probably, in this past year, I've read close to 250 scripts. You know, and like my focus really is more now on like writing and directing and producing. In addition to acting, but really focusing more on the behind the scenes story aspect because I'm tired of the trash that I'm seeing, you know? So instead of just sitting here and being like, I'm so tired about, I'm not going to do anything. Why doesn't somebody do it? Like just taking the action and being like creating the stories that I desire to tell and supporting the other stories, the other storytellers, that I believe in that have stories to tell.
That was a good callback. To the beginning of our convo.
Full circle.
Get up and do something.
Fame
costs.
yeah, so double shout out. Speaking of which, to make it a full fucking callback. If you're not following the likes of individuals like Rebecca Theodore, Lauren Warren, like just two... amazing women that I love and respect and who are incredible fucking storytellers that are on their way to becoming fucking household names. And with that, I end each episode by asking a question to my guest, though I forgot with fucking Amy. Because she had to like run home to her fucking cat.
And I'll answer for her.
Okay. So, you know, in honor of the title of the show, which is Shut Up and Listen with Heather Matarazzo, in case you didn't know, and you're like, what's the name of the show? I ask, when was the last time you shut up and listened to your intuition? And what was the result?
Well, answering for Amy, it's when she too started watching The Big Bang Theory. She loves it. I'm kidding. I don't know if she loves The Big Bang Theory. I'm not going to put that out there about her. But I'm going on her show soon and I will confront her. For me, when did I shut up and listen? Like, follow my intuition, like mm-hmm. Jewel. I don't know. Maybe it's with that book I was telling you about. You know, I was approached to write like a couple book things. They didn't feel altogether right for me. And, you know, I just feel like I like moments in my life where I bet on myself. You know, and so I think people should bet on themselves more often. You know, if you think something is great, do it.
Amen. You know? Yeah.
If you build it, they will come. You know?
Yeah.
This may end up just being chapters online. It may, you know, be at a Barnes & Noble near you. Who knows? But, you know, if you want to do something, you should bet on yourself.
Yeah. Well, you know. You know.
Yeah. And I've done that for years. You know, just moving to jumping into MTV, the rebirth of it, which honestly was a great year of my life when I was able to work under Dan Fearman. He came from Grantland and asked me to join MTV, and I'd only been at Vulture for 4 months. And I said yes. And it changed my life, you know? So even if things end not as great as they started, you know, you can still appreciate what they've done for you. I've heard it said, you know, that like people come into our lives for a reason.
Yeah.
And we learn from those.
Yeah, who led us most to grow if we let them, and they help us in return.
I don't know if I believe that's true, but I know I'm who I am today because I met you.
Yeah,
it's a little wicked for y'all.
It is a little wicked for y'all. Wicked, which, oh, my fucking cat. You want to talk about something fucked up? Let's end this podcast on a really fucked up, sad note, shall we? My cat, Fiero.
Fiero!
Yeah, of 13 years. The love of my life, Henry Miller, my dog, passed away, the end of March last year. And then... Aww. A few months later in July, Fiero went missing. And then I found like tiny little patches of black fur in the park and with some like entrails, which led me to believe that coyotes took him and ate him. Yeah. So it's like, Fiero, where are you? Already dead or bleeding. One more disaster that can add to my generous supply.
What have you just done to my memories of Wicked? I cannot listen to this musical now. I hate you. Oh my God. Poor Fiero.
No, I'm like, I haven't even like.
He's alive.
He's not.
He's somewhere.
He's somewhere out there.
He's somewhere.
Need to help me. Fucking born in a ditch in West Virginia. Do you know that reference? Ran away from home at 10.
Wait, what is that?
Dropped right out of that ditch. I do sing better. I'm just scared to sing in front of Ira.
Wait, what song is that?
Fucking Wild Party.
Oh. Is that the Lipa version?
It's that, I think so, yeah, with Adina.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, give me half a chicken and a bottle of bourbon and I'll conquer the world.
I need to get more back into the Wild Party.
But then the Toni Collette version, like fucking People Like Us.
Yeah.
Oh.
I will listen to Wild Party then and report back. It's been a while. Christ. It's been years.
Oh, my God. It's so fucking good. It's so fucking good. I'm going to kill myself. Not really. I'm just kidding. Ha ha. And I know people are going to be like, don't joke about killing yourself. But I talk a lot about depression and suicide on this fucking podcast. So don't fucking at me. Or like at me if you fucking want to. I really don't give a shit. We're all doing the best that we can in this era of fucking straight white men and Trump and totalitarianism. I can't even fucking say that word. Totalitarianism.
Totalitarianism.
That's a mouthful.
It is. My God. It's a really big mouthful. All right. I fucking love you. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. This was a delight.
I hope that you come on again.
Of course.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm around. Well, so I'm everywhere.
Oh my God. We can have like a Sunday fun day musical review.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Fabulous. All right, guys. I hope you fucking enjoyed this and this brought some levity to your day. Again, I am Heather Matarazzo. You've been listening to Shut Up and Listen with Heather Matarazzo. And there will be a new episode next Thursday with a very special surprise guest. I don't know who yet because I haven't booked anybody. We'll see what the universe brings. Love you. Bye.